Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Iran are trading missile strikes after the U.S. bomb attacks on three Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. We heard from the U.N.'s atomic watchdog this morning. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
The quote here, given the explosive payload utilized and the extremely vibration-sensitive nature of those centrifuges down there, very significant damage is expected to have occurred.
Top Trump administration officials have insisted the U.S. attacks were not intended to oust the Ayatollah, but President Trump may have a different perspective. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He says it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be regime change?
Scorching temperatures will spread out in the east today. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Today, 96 in New York, 99 in Hartford, and 100 degrees down in D.C.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. High heat and humidity still rage, with heat advisories remaining through tonight. The heat index will again reach the low 100s. Now the threat of severe weather moves in, with the Storm Prediction Center putting us at a slight risk. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We've got a cold front that is sweeping across the state, which is also the reason why thunderstorms are going to become more numerous and widespread by tonight. And it looks to line up, packing the risk of high winds up to around 70 miles per hour that could cause some scattered damage. It'll also cool our temperatures down as it stalls over the state, bringing heavy rainfall that could cause potential flooding. And that could start later this week. Widespread 1 inch of rain is expected, and a good 3 to 5 inches is possible in places. So stay dry this week, and don't forget the umbrella.
Average gas prices rose 12 cents per gallon over the last week. The average across the state is $3.04 today. This is 1.7 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 23 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at GasBuddy say oil prices have continued to climb over the past week due to Israel and Iran trading attacks. This has caused gasoline prices to rise at the pump at a pace we haven't seen since last summer. Officials continued, saying motorists should anticipate a steady climb in prices since the U.S. launched attacks on Iran. The national average is likely to increase another 7 to 15 cents this week. While these forecasts remain fluid and could shift quickly depending on global developments, GasBuddy officials do not expect apocalyptic spikes so-called influencers on social media are predicting. They say many of those claims are wildly inaccurate. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.84 to $2.99 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates beginning a three-game series at American Family Field tonight. The Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that, but they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palou winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions than we were making. It was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palou with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy. It's going to be warm and muggy again today with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. And a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Be weather aware later today. High in the mid to upper 80s, but the heat index will be well into the 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman joins us to cover all the weekend news. And then we're talking ticks in hour number two with entomologist PJ Leash, the bug guy. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, and good morning. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy joining us from A1 in a moment. Brittany Merlot giving us the forecast coming up as well. First, a reminder, of course, we'd love to have you sign up for our newsletter over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage, where today Christina Lurie has a story in there about frozen custard. And what is it about Wisconsin that we love our frozen custard so much? I mean, we like our ice cream too, but custard's really kind of something unique to this neck of the woods. Parker, I was going to mention to you as well, and you know, actually, let's bring everybody in, John and Gordon and Brittany and all that.
Big round table.
Let's fix things right on air here, okay? Let's have one of those pull the curtain back moments. So as I'm refilling my coffee in the kitchen, and up comes on my phone screen a thing from Spotify saying that, you know, the podcast episode has dropped for the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
Now, the title for the 6 a.m. hour was Iran Surrenders, and then in brackets, sarcasm font. Mm-hmm. Well, we've learned today that if you put it in the brackets, it doesn't show up in the title. So right now, everybody thinks my first hour is about Iran surrendering.
I fixed
that.
Not
even being sarcastic about it.
Wow. I fixed that.
Do you fix that already?
I thought so. I thought I fixed it right away.
Okay, well,
go Parker.
I'll take a look and let you go.
I will.
Well, not now, but you know, at some point here, we're not going to lose that just, many more listeners.
Well,
by having a misleading title.
Yeah, but I'm all for good information, not misinformation, Pat.
Oh, listen.
Oh, that is wonderful. I'm feeling warm.
Spoken like a man straight out of college who still has. Like
hope,
great
optimism, yeah. Desire, yeah.
That's right.
Ambition,
that's right. That's
all right. The things I miss so much, along with my knees and one of my shoulders.
Oh, those are pretty much gone.
Wow.
Yep. We'll ask the guys how they survived the heat here in a bit. But Brittany, since you got the forecast duties here, how did you beat the heat, or what did you do when you were out and about?
Yeah, so I went to the beach. I went to Lake Superior, the free AC, and tried to attempt to go in the water, but it was so cold there I didn't even need to.
No, there was no 100-degree heat index up there.
No, not at all. Okay. It was in the mid-50s. So
right. So you did it right. All right.
I did.
And it's moving on out of here now.
Yes, it is. Slowly but surely. Now, there still is, you know, heat advisories for a good 2/3 of the state, pretty much the eastern and southern parts. And it still stays there till about 7 o'clock this evening. So still feeling like the low 100s today, still reaching the low 90s for a good chunk of the state. But far northwest, your highs are going to be in the upper 70s. Yeah, some free AC is rolling through, but there's a price to pay to get the cooler temperatures here. And that's going to come in the form of storms. Some could be strong to severe, especially in areas towards La Crosse, into Wausau, then down into the Fox Valley, Madison, you're into that area as well. These storms want to start around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, probably around Winona, La Crosse area, Wausau. And they're going to start to build and become more numerous and maybe a little bit stronger with some high winds possible, too. And as there's going to be a line as it pushes in towards the Madison-Green Bay area. And this is only going to be while the day lights out. Once it gets dark, this thing fizzles out and becomes just rain. So again, really high risk of some high winds and, of course, some heavy downpours. Hail and a tornado is possible, especially early as these storms start to form. But once they get into that line, I think that risk kind of goes away a little bit more. But still, storms sparking up around noon. Again, tomorrow, the front is going to be sitting over southern Wisconsin. It is going to continue some heavy rainfall. Then it lifts north as we go through the rest of the week. And then it starts to get out of here as we go into the weekend. So a lot of heavy rain, widespread 1 inch is expected. Some places could get around 3 to 5 inches by the time this week is over. So
this is, again, look for your target for mowing the lawn and make your target or you're going to regret it later on.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. I see how this works. All right. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it so much. Coming up right after this program, Matt and Air on Air, Jane and Greg have Civic Media's new news director, Sholly Pittman, coming up at 9:30. Wisconsin bug guy, PJ Leisch from UW-Madison's entomology department. And, of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, their segment coming up at 10:50. On the Todd Alba Show, 2:30 this afternoon, he will welcome in State Senator Kelda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee. And the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Matt Rothschild is the guest co-host with Elon Berman from the American Foreign Policy Council with a follow-up on the U.S. attack on Iran over the weekend. The other fun things we get to do here on this program are talking to some of the people who cover Wisconsin in other local areas. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram on Wednesday, James Kelly, who does the northwestern part of the state. Jimmy Cuska talks to us from covering things over in the western Wisconsin area. And it's so great that on Monday mornings, we get to talk to our Madison morning folks, John and Gordy, who join us from Madison Studio A1. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How did you guys survive the heat?
Do you
thrive on it? Yes.
No, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I'm really allergic to dew points. So anytime the dew points are high, you won't find me anywhere outside. I am indoors, air conditioning, fans blowing like crazy.
Yeah, so we actually ran into each other over the weekend in the Walmart parking lot on the west side of Madison, and we decided, we'd never talk to each other once the show was over. We usually just go our separate ways, and especially on the weekends, we don't really check in with each other. You know, we have other lives to lead, but we ran into each other, and we thought, let's go have a beer somewhere.
That's right.
So that's what we did. We went to a new place in town that a friend of ours owns, and we had a nice cold one. And so that took care of Saturday afternoon.
So you had a good time, because I see this unfolding. You get the beer, you each take a sip. You look at each other. It's like, that's why we don't do this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway. when you're doing a morning show, having a beer is like a real downer. You're ready to go to sleep right after the beer.
Exactly. We both needed a nap after one beer.
But the funny thing about the heat, though, I mean, it was really hot down here, 93 degrees. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, we were out there working in the yard really hard, doing a lot of gardening, making sure that, we're getting ready for the week-long rain. Our neighbors are doing the same damn thing. Everybody was outdoors working really hard in the yard with 93 degree temperatures. Ridiculous.
Crazy.
I know, because you got to, because otherwise if it rains and you don't get things done, it just gets really out of hand. So no, I totally understand that part. We actually took the pontoon out for the first time this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And you kind of get, those little misters, the fans that, blow a little water on you. You get on the lake naturally. It was really windy, of course, all weekend. Mm-hmm. And so it really chops up the water. And you can get that speed just right that you can dunk all of your riders occasionally. You just hit the wave. They get the spray.
Beautiful.
9 out of 10 times they're mad at you. But this weekend it was like, thank you.
Yes,
I needed
that.
Yes, please. We go upriver to a place called the Mallard. It's just this little resort with six cabins and some campsites. But then it also has a bar. And so a lot of people come upriver or downriver and they park their boat in there and they go get a cold one and they sit around for a little bit. And it's got this area where once a year they dump a truckload of sand on the river. It's maybe 30 feet wide tops and maybe 8 feet, you know, before the water, before you get to the river. And all of our grandkids over the years have always referred to it at a certain age, like the beach. They want to go to the beach. I just think that's adorable. I'm like, yeah. The beach. It's like this little pile of sand, you know, but it works for them. They go hunting for, you know, crayfish in the air or crawfish in the, you know, in the rocks and everything there.
Yeah.
And after all these years, they still keep coming back. These stupid crawfish. Like, have you not figured out the kids that are like biting your head off or whatever? They're just like, oh, look, my thing is, and then it flops over dead. But, you know, it's
when the sand arrives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a vacation.
when you hear the kids go, like, our yard is filled with, you know, squirrels and rabbits. It looks like something out of, you know, Snow White or whatever. But as soon as, you know, all the little kids show up, boom, they're gone. There is not a woodland creature to be found for the next, you know, 3 days. Until they realize that the coast is clear. But it was still fun. Well, I'm glad you guys beat the Heat. Now, Parker was telling us earlier, he was working the Madison Mallards game when that pitcher had a no-hitter the other day. Mm-hmm. And I've been to two Madison Mallards games. Love them. I've been to a few Eau Claire Express games as well. St. Paul Saint. I love Northwoods League baseball. I love minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you guys, I mean, the team's been around for a little while now, so do you go to a game or two here and there, or does that something you used to do? You don't do so much anymore?
Used to do a long time ago, the Madison Muskies.
Yeah, before they changed the name to the Mallards, or they got different management or owners or whatever. It was the Muskies, And we used to go to some of those games.
Yeah, those were a lot of fun.
Haven't been out there for a while, though. But, I love minor league baseball. It's the way it should be. You know, it's families coming out to the ballpark and having a good time. And they have more family activities, you know, in and around the ballpark. So, yeah, it's a good time, though.
Yeah, in the old days with the Muskies, they used to make fun of their mascot. And they had a lot, you know, they celebrated the craziness of a Muskie.
Sure.
And that was great. I don't know. Did they do that now with the Mallards at all?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't think so. Pat, are you familiar with the Savannah Bananas? Are you know about these guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
we were talking about them the other day.
Yeah, because I discovered I saw it on ESPN and I was just freaked out over it. I had no idea the Savannah Bananas were around. And who is the other team that they have?
I'm not sure who they play. Yeah.
For folks that don't know, would it be fair to call them animals, like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball?
Yes, that's it.
Exactly. Yes. You know,
just a lot of very performance, but they're talented. They're not like they just happen to play baseball. It's like, no, they can actually play baseball and do all these crazy things.
I saw the outfielder catch a fly ball out there with his hand behind his back, glove behind his back. He caught the ball. Freaked me out. This is like my first introduction to entertainment in baseball. Why don't they do this all the time in baseball? You know, they dance between, you know, the teams setting up and or on the sidelines.
The umpires are involved and the whole team is involved and they get the fans going. Great way to watch baseball. Yeah.
Look how much more involved it is now, not just at the minor league parks, but even you go to American Family Field or Target Field, and they've now got stuff in the concourses, you know, for the kids to do.
Yes.
Maybe pitch a ball through, you know, past a radar gun or whatever. And how different it is then. I mean, if you still have to go to Wrigley or Fenway, these two things that were built in 1912, and how many generations of kids had to go there, and dad goes and he's got his little straw hat on and says, no, you're just going to watch the game. There's nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Nothing else. Just watch the game. We got it a lot easier now. There's a lot of distractions, to be sure, if you just want to watch the game, but I think most people welcome it. And like I said, Madison's got a great setup for it, as does Eau Claire.
Yes.
I like to make a tour of some of these others. I have not been to any of the others yet around Wisconsin. Wausau, Appleton's got one. So if we can get Parker to work on that, maybe start doing some remotes from some of these minor league ballparks.
Do you want that?
That be fun?
Do you want a night game for me?
No.
Nights with Pat Kreitlow?
No, we're totally 6 a.m. You know, out there, and we're just talking to the groundskeepers, you know. Let them have all the fun stuff later in the day. We're talking to John and Gordy here from our Civic Media Station in Madison. A local update is coming up next for a couple of you. For others, we will continue conversing with John and Gordy. And then later, when we're all together 15 minutes from now, we are going to be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process, the process that could be more bipartisan, but some people don't want it to be more bipartisan. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for spending part of your mornings up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Mornings on WFHR. Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I could just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources change, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old, and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this June 20th, 2025. Ever host James here, welcoming into the studio our good friend Jim Benna from Port Edward School District. Jim, it's good to have you with us. How you been?
Doing really well, James. Thank you for having us again.
Always appreciate the time, and really do appreciate the newsletter you guys put out there. It's a great way for us to keep up to date on things, especially in the summer where sometimes we get a little busy and can forget things, helps us put these things on our calendar and all that, and there is a lot going on with you guys. I want to dive right into it. Let's start with the Blackhawk Scramble and tell everybody about that.
Yeah, absolutely, James. The Blackhawk Scramble is the annual fundraiser that the Port Edwards Education Foundation hosts each year. It's the day after Father's Day. We had it once again this past Monday, June 16th. We had a new venue for it this year. We had it at Bullseye Country Club. I'd like to give a big shout out to Bullseye. They did a wonderful job of hosting us. We had about 80 golfers. This, again, as I mentioned, this is the primary fundraiser for the Port Edwards Education Foundation, also known as PEEF in the Port Edwards area. PEEF has donated through grants to Port Edwards teachers over the last 29 years over $300,000.
Wow.
And that grant money goes for additional programming, field trips, additional items for tech ed, for drama, for music, etc., things that go above and beyond our regular budget.
Yeah.
So Port Edwards School District is greatly indebted to PEEF, and we would like to say thank you to PEEF and also invite everyone to participate in the Blackhawks Scramble. Next year, in 2026, it'll be our 20th annual Blackhawks Scramble. Once again at Bullseye, it'll be the day after Father's Day. So look for information next spring.
Mm-hmm. And a great easy way to make plans for it, knowing that in mind, having that in mind going forward and everything. And
absolutely.
A big shout out to everybody involved in that one, all the volunteers, all the people that help, and especially Bullseye. I always appreciate them. Great people over there. Mm-hmm. And really to hear, good to hear about the success of the program. That's fantastic. Wonderful.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, James, volunteers, as I showed up that day and I helped work that day and had a great time golfing as well. It's run completely by volunteers, you know, people giving up their days, taking time off of work. You know that a lot of time and effort and energy goes into not just that day, but months leading up to that event. So I want to thank everyone on the PEEF board and everyone that took time. Ultimately, it's for the students and families of the Port Edward School District. So big shout out to everyone that gives their time to PEEF.
Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go next?
Absolutely. Well, James, it's a busy time in the schoolhouse. Our last day of school was about 2 weeks ago, but summer school is in full swing. We have 58 elementary students who are enrolled for summer school enrichment programs. We have 10 high school students who are also taking some summer school classes. They're having a great time in summer school. We're doing some fun classes, James. We're doing gardening. We're doing clay creations, other art projects, fun with math and reading. So summer school runs for 3 weeks in the Port Edward School District. We have 2 weeks completed. Next week will be our last week. So right. A lot of fun. That's all housed at Ed Hoyer Elementary School.
As a side note to me, I kind of blame the 80s for making summer school seem a certain way.
A stigma. Like,
yeah. I did summer school when I was in school, and I enjoyed it. I not only had fun with it, but it was a computer class I took, and it's actually helped me a lot as I got older and stuff with working with computers and everything. That's great to hear. And I'm sure they're having a good time with it.
Absolutely. We are, you know, school is a great place to be. And it, you know, we learn our life fundamentals from September through May. But our teachers have so many exciting hobbies and interests and things like that outside of the core academics. And summer school gives them the opportunity to teach these skills and these hobbies, gardening and clay and sculpture, these extra things that our students may not they may not be, you know, have the ability to see otherwise.
Right.
And so summer school gives our teachers and our students that opportunity to have that platform to learn those skills.
And getting the opportunity to maybe do things that during the school year they're not able to for them and the teachers. And a big shout out to those teachers, exactly. You know, really doing the extra great work for our community and our youth out there. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a lot to talk about. Where do you want to go next?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, here in the summer in the Port Edward School District and many other school districts, we are doing a lot of building and grounds updates. As you know, James, I've shared this before on your program. We passed our referendum last April. We passed over a $7 million capital referendum, and we are really starting to see some of those projects get kicked off this summer. Anyone who drives past John Edwards High School this summer will see a lot of scaffolding. They'll see some big cranes outside. We have a company out of Milwaukee that is inspecting every brick and every inch of mortar on that building. Anyone from the area knows, that building, it was built in segments. We have a 90-year-old high school. We have other parts of the building that are 60 years old, and it's brick and mortar. Well, every brick is being inspected. Every inch of mortar is being inspected to make sure that that building stays sound and stays as it should. It is getting sealed. So that's a big project happening at our high school. At our elementary school, in late July and August, we are getting a new gym floor poured. We're going to have a hard rubberized surface. We're getting glass backboards installed in our elementary gym. At our elementary, we're also getting new Cat 6 internet cabling installed, a new PA system, and a new digital clock system. So we have beautiful historic buildings in Port Edwards. We are doing upgrades to them. I compare it a lot to if you've got a beautiful historic home, you want to keep its integrity. It's got great bones. bones. You just have to modernize it and upgrade it. And that's what our referendum monies are going toward. So a lot of practical purchases to keep our buildings in great working order.
It's great to see the not only to hear the breakdown of where the money's going and how it's being used, but the encouragingness of this and excitement of this. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm feeling that. I know that a lot of talking to listeners about it after the last time we talked about it, that they are too. That's us. I can't imagine how you and the staff, how the kids are feeling about this. Like,
you were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's two U.S. senators are split in their reaction to President Donald Trump's bombing of Iranian nuclear facilities Saturday. Lisa Hale reports.
Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin said the administration's actions without congressional approval ignores the Constitution and puts service members at risk and puts us, quote, on the verge of an all-out war. Republican Senator Ron Johnson told Sunday Morning Features on Fox News he supports the president's decision not to let Iran become a nuclear power. Meanwhile, Republican 8th District Congressman Tony Weed posted on X that now's the time to end endless wars and called for, quote, peace through strength.
Locally, a small group of demonstrators gathered in the heat on Sunday to protest the bombing in Iran. On the green lawn across from Aspirus Hospital on the East Riverview Expressway, they held signs reading, "Diplomatic talks, not war. Love your neighbor. And no more endless wars." The organizer said it was a spur-of-the-moment call to action, and she was happy with the turnout on such a hot day.
I just was furious about this bombing of Iran. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the wrong thing to do. We're going to pay for this. Trump has repeatedly said that he was going to, you know, have peace on day one in Ukraine, and he was going to take care of the problem in the Middle East. And I think instead of taking care of it, he has just made it worse.
Another attendee said it reminded her of when President Bush said there were weapons of mass destruction and we went to war, and they found out later it was a lie. She said so many people died because of the lies, and she just has a feeling that this is more lies and military boys wanting to play with their big toys. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Believe it or not, Hollywood is making a sequel. In this case, it is the fourth in a series of Meet the Parents films. The Hollywood Reporter says Owen Wilson has officially signed on to the project, joining Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, and newcomer to the cast, Ariana Grande. It's always nice to have a fresh face. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with Universal for the latest installment, which is co-written by John Hamburg, who also co-wrote the previous three films and will direct this new chapter. If you listen to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you've probably heard me talk about this franchise quite a bit, as it was started by frequent guest and writer Greg Liana, whose $50,000 independent film ended up at Universal Studios and is now one of the highest-grossing live-action comedy franchises ever. Meet the Parents is expected to hit theaters Thanksgiving of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy. It's going to be warm and muggy again today with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. And a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Be weather aware later today. High in the mid to upper 80s, but the heat index will be well into the 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 82.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We may have set some kind of a record in the comment sections today. Now, a lot of it has to do with the attack on Iran over the weekend, with people going back and forth about what was constitutional or not, and other stuff, let's just say. Not everybody plays nice in the comment section, if you know what I'm saying. So every so often, it's a little tougher to sift through and find these things. But here from Tony up here, Pat needs a backlight to separate him from his fancy new bookshelf. If we're critiquing, it's hard to separate his black headphones from his black bookcase. Well, Tony, let me grab my fancy new remote control here, and let's try that.
Ooh, look at that.
Look at that. We got it's not like high intensity backlighting, but it's not nothing. So
it appears that you're missing a light.
I am missing a light. I am.
Okay.
Here's the problem with IKEA.
With IKEA? Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I ordered all this online. I had it delivered, and I saw the lights up here. They look really nice.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that if you do more than three lights, you need a separate little power adapter thingy.
Gotcha.
So I have to go looking up the power adapter thingy, and then I can put up, you know, the fourth light that goes there. But thank you for noticing. Now it's going to bug everybody when they look at this.
I like to have attention to detail.
Well, that you got. So there, we've taken care of that. Yeah. It's a Monday morning. It's June 23rd. Appreciate you having you here, and we appreciate State Representative Francesca Hong, who's joining us as well to give us a bit of an update on the state budget. Busy being, you know, mom in the meantime. And is it summer camp season now?
Yes, today is the first day of camp, and of course he did well, and I just had to hover real quick to see if he was all good.
Aw.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, I had a daughter staying with me over the weekend, and the two little ones, ages 6 and 3, and they left, you know, mid-show here, which is really tough because they're, you know, doing hugs and squeezes and kisses and everything. I'm like, just go. I can't cry on the radio. Oh. Stop it. So I get it. You know, we got to take care of family, especially your job, which has demands in all the weirdest times. You know, you never know when you got to go knock doors or go to a fundraiser or, I don't know, pass some legislation, which would be great to do if you all could get a chance to. But you shared a clip recently of some committee interaction and how the committee chair just really wants to micromanage the conversation in a way that avoids talking about all of the things that go into a state budget. It's not just about, you know, tax cuts for the well-off, but there's healthcare, there's education, there's all these things that are necessary. And, you know, you were simply trying to, I think, make the point that we have a very interconnected budget if you're willing to make those connections.
Well, I think, first of all, I was responding to testimony from the bill authors regarding a bill that would have removed reoccurring referenda. And so I thought that was a really great segue and would give me an opportunity to build some context around what would be driving the need for schools to go to referenda. And the chair of the committee, Representative Joel Kitchens, felt as though that was not pertaining to the bill, interrupted me multiple times. And even though I tried to reframe the question and add additional context, he accused me of trying to always twist the conversation. But especially when Republicans are saying things like historic investments in school and these increasing budgets, that's just not true. And the latest votes that happened in the Joint Committee of Finance executive session last week, the Republican motion included $0 increase in state aid or equalization aid for K-12 public schools. This has not happened since 2011, when Scott Walker administration actually decreased the state aid to K-12 public schools. So it's incredibly unprecedented. I don't love using that word because it's not surprising that the Republicans have very little interest in actually taking care of our kids. But I think it's important for folks to know that what they are presenting in their motions is wholly inadequate. And in addition to the $0 state aid increase, we're talking about 37% special education reimbursement, where remember that is for private schools where public tax dollars are going to voucher schools. They receive 90% reimbursement for the state for their special education costs. And so we're pitting students against one another. And in a time where we should be ensuring that every child has their needs met, and opportunities to thrive, we're picking and choosing how to fund our schools and really pitting our communities against one another too, when we're forcing taxpayers to raise their own property taxes because the state refuses to fully and adequately fund our schools.
As you were trying to make these points and getting interrupted, I thought of the time when Elizabeth Warren was trying to do the same thing in the Senate and actually was disciplined for continuing to speak, and the phrase "yet she persisted" came into the lexicon, and I immediately thought of that watching you do this, because all I thought you were trying to do, and this is I'm putting words in your mouth here, was to want to say to the Republicans, okay, look, you don't want these recurring referendums, so you could maybe better fund the schools, right? So that we don't need the referendums. And I just wanted one of them to go, oh, no, we don't want to fund schools. We just don't want you guys to have any more referendums. I mean, at least be honest with folks that way, that that's what this bill is really all about. You just don't like that pesky democracy breaking out.
We were presenting alternatives and solutions that, again, would eliminate the need to go to referenda. And unfortunately, having a conversation about inadequate public school funding is one that Republicans will continue to evade because it's something that their communities, people in their district, are demanding. And we saw that with testimony from all across the state, where Wisconsinites showed up to tell Republicans and Democrats on the Committee on Joint Finance what their communities need, that we need a budget that reflects our morals, our values, our needs. And unfortunately, the Republicans refused to listen, especially, and they showed that in their budget motion.
And so I've drawn some parallels to what we're seeing in Congress as well. And it seems like you have more demand than ever for bipartisanship, or at least an attempt to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. And yet in both Washington, D.C. and Madison, you see a side of the aisle that is going out of its way to cut Democrats out of the conversation. And I mean, look, I know there's a lot of people that favor this guy who'd love to bring autocracy to the country, but we are not a land of one party rule yet. And yet it seems like it's really too much to ask that, you know, if they're going to need Democratic votes to pass a budget, maybe they would let you get a word in edgewise before they, you know, implode amongst themselves and can't pass a budget.
Well, Democrats are going to continue to fight for the needs of Wisconsinites and talk about what people are actually asking for in the state budget and how we use their tax dollars. And they're asking for investments in childcare to make childcare services fully more affordable and available for communities across the state, especially our rural communities. We need to be paying childcare educators, making sure providers have what they need to stay open. They're asking for increases, actually demanding increases in public education, both K-12 and higher ed. And instead, Republicans responded with, we're going to do an $87 million cut to the universities of Wisconsin. And so Republicans can do, I don't know, I think they really are in disarray. And while we wait for them to get their act together, even though I would like to replace that word with something else.
Yes.
Democrats are going to continue to talk about what Wisconsinites want and are demanding of their government, of their representation. And so folks can talk about bipartisanship in terms of working together, but when the other side has continuously left the negotiating table, when they were left conversations with the governor, I think it's really important that we show people who they are. And who they are folks who refuse to listen to their communities. And so we as Democrats have a deep responsibility to ensure that our message is clear, that we are listening to Wisconsinites. We are going to continue to fight for them. And we have no problem going in to communities whose representatives are not listening and talking about how we can collectively fight back and do better for our communities.
We're talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, and here's where we get into some speculation. And again, I'm happy to be accused of overthinking something. But you've got a couple of Republican senators already saying that they're not going to vote for the thing that appears to be coming out of the Joint Finance Committee. So in theory, it could get to the point where Republicans don't have enough votes amongst themselves to pass a budget. And you see some reporters writing, well, they may have to go get, you know, one or two votes from the Democratic side of things. And my contention has been that this is very likely just a head fake. This just clears the path for them to say, you know, we can't agree amongst themselves and we don't want to talk to Democrats, so we're just not going to pass a budget. That there's, for some folks, there may not even be an interest in passing a budget because, you know, spending just continues at the current budget level and they don't have to make any tough choices. Is that wildly speculative? Am I wildly overthinking this, or is a no budget a possibility?
Pat, I always appreciate you being thoughtful and analytical. I wouldn't say it's overthinking. It's unfortunate that we are debating on passing a budget that Republicans have presented. This is the Republican budget that they themselves are not agreeing on, that again does the needs of Wisconsinites. I think it's important that we pass a budget that at least makes sure that we are funding public education, childcare, higher education, that we are not opening any new prisons. I think it's important to continue the conversation about Green Bay. Yes, our budget will, the previous session budget will carry over if the budget is not signed as legislation by June 30th. But I also think we have a responsibility to give the governor courage and support to reject a budget that refuses to, that does not meet the needs of Wisconsinites. I think especially with the impending federal cuts and what this big dumb bill that is being worked on, and that the Senate most likely will be voting on this week in the reconciliation bill. It's imperative that the state do everything we can to ensure that communities have what they need to take care of our constituents. And so I think in addition to the fact that maybe Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are having conversations, a budget that is presented to the governor needs to be one that includes investments in childcare, K-12 education, higher education, and as even though we haven't seen the governor reject the budget in full, this is a much different political climate, and I would hope we can continue to have that conversation about how we need to fight for a budget that reflects the needs and meets the needs of Wisconsinites.
And now you see why people like Alicia have comments like Representative Hong has the patience of a saint. And we, not the vocabulary necessarily, but the patience. And that's the thing that's important. Fran, thank you so much for taking time out for talking to us in the middle of a busy family day. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Always happy to be here. Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Jane Mattinair tells us what's coming up next on her program. A local update for the rest of you, all here on our mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
J. join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We're not comfortable until you are.
No, don't turn on the AC. It costs a fortune to run that old thing. Remember, we only run it when it's like 85 degrees outside, and we turn it off when it's 80 in the house. We can't afford to run it any more than that. Mommy and Daddy had to stick a lot of money in it last year because of a leak.
Wait, you put money in the air conditioner?
Not exactly, but it seems that way to me.
Don't they make better ones now? They make better cars. Isn't that why you bought a new car last year, because it costs a lot to fix it?
Well, yes. And I suppose they make better ACs now. I wonder how much a new one costs.
Call Tri-City Services for a free quote to replace that air conditioner that feels like it costs a fortune to operate. Tri-City has great financing options to qualified credit on a new AC that'll save you money. You can operate it all summer long without worrying about dipping into your kids' college fund to pay the utility bill. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go, always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
That's us. I can't imagine how you and the staff, how the kids are feeling about this. Like, it's a very exciting thing, and I have to say, especially in this day and age, every voting season, we see bills on there regarding our schools, and they don't always go this way.
Right.
So a big thank you to the community, a big thank you to everybody that sees the investment here. The smart investment here, maybe the greatest investment any of us can make in our youth, in the future, and especially in our rural communities, in our communities that truly need this. These schools, not only because of the beautiful history they have and the fun memories they bring to many of the residents of the area, but the future. You know, and putting a focus on that, and it's so encouraging to hear that. It's just exciting. Like, I have to be honest, I was distracted by the new basketball court.
That really had me.
I'm like, oh, that sounds really exciting.
It's going to be great. Yeah, absolutely. As we went through the referendum process, James, we were very diligent in speaking to our community members, and we wanted to be ears. We wanted to listen to them. What do you feel is most important about our school district? And overwhelmingly, we heard, we want to stay in our buildings. We don't want to look at building new. We want to stay in our current historic high school building, our historic Ed Hoyer Elementary School, but we want to upgrade it and we want to modernize it and make it the best facility that we can. So through our community listening sessions, we gathered a list of ways to update those buildings, and we prioritize those. And, you know, I think we are doing our due diligence right now to make sure that we follow that prioritized list and are doing those upgrades over the next several years.
We're speaking with Mr. Jim Betta from the Port Edward School District, and open enrollment is going on right now. I wanted to touch on that, Jim.
Sure, absolutely. It is summertime, and you know, it's a time for families to reflect on their child's education. Families can enroll their students anytime for the upcoming school year at our elementary school. Our elementary office is open during the month of June. And if families would like to register their children during the month of July or August, they should go to John Edwards High School on 2nd Street. So anytime in July or August, they can walk through those white pillars. The door's right there at the front door, and go into our main office, and registration will happen right there.
As long as we're talking about registration, we do want to remind all the parents out there about Stuff the Desk, the Stuff the Bus, our great event going on with our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Terry John, CEO over there, joins us once a week usually. We've been touching on this, but just another reminder to all parents out there, again, know how busy things can get, how crazy it can be. Sometimes, did I register yet? It's just a good reminder to do that.
Mm-hmm. Stuff the Desk, the registration, it opened on May 1st. It is supported by the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. We are on that committee, the Port Edward School District, with Nakusa, Rapids Public Schools, and of course in partnership with United Way. And for more information, you can visit the United Way website. So that's the Stuff the Desk program, and Stuff the Bus happens during lunch by the river on August 7th. And James, I'm sure you'll be promoting that more as we get closer to August 7th. So there is a great need in the area for school supplies. And there are all kinds of items that need to be donated to the United Way. Mm-hmm. Backpacks, notebooks, folders, and all kinds of school supplies. And again, you can visit the United Way website to learn more about Stuff the Bus that will happen on August 7th.
Yeah, uwswac.org is the website. Go check that out, everybody. And keep in mind, if you have school supplies you want to drop off, you can drop them off here at the studios. We'll make sure that they get in the right hands. Looking forward to collecting more and more supplies and getting these into the kids' hands for the new school season, but not too soon. We don't want to think about it too soon.
That's right.
Jim, what else did you have for us today?
Sure, absolutely. Well, we kind of talked a little bit at the start of our conversation, James, about what's happening right now. I wanted to talk about some exciting things that happened as we wrapped up the school year at the end of May. We had a very exciting event happen on May 29th. For the first time ever, we had our John Edwards High School class of 2038. They celebrated their graduation or commencement exercise in our high school gym. This was the first school year that our 4K program was housed at our elementary. Prior to this, they were at the YMCA. Because our 4K program was part of the elementary school, we wanted to have those four-year-old students kind of replicate the graduation that they will be able to do in 12 years. So we had graduation in the high school gym. We had 18 students walk through commencement, approximately 4 feet tall, wearing their cute little orange gowns and hats. It was just such a cool event. It was such a cool event. So big props out to Mrs. Moldenhauer. She is our 4K teacher, and Mrs. Hamilton, who assisted with that event. So that was the class of 2038. They had their 4K graduation.
I don't get this feeling very often. Every once in a while it happens, though, and it usually involves talking to people in our public schools and everything, but I'm jealous. I'm genuinely jealous of that. That is such a fun, cool idea. Would have loved to have done something like that in school. And one of the things that I thought about when you put yourself in the shoes of these kids or something like that, and you think about these things, we don't, especially the older we get and the more removed from school we get, sometimes it can seem like a long marathon school. Right. It's not just the school year, but I'm in grade 5 and I got to go to grade 12 or something along those lines, and thinking about how long, especially when you're a kid, how long that seems to us as adults. It's like, okay, well, that's, we'll get through that. But as you're a kid, it seems like forever. Having these kind of benchmarks in mind, these ideas in mind, it gets them seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't mean that in a negative way or anything like that. Just mean, in the, you know, kind of as you're a kid and you're dealing with that stuff. It's also pretty exciting, I imagine, for them putting on those robes, even thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Who knows if some of these kids even thought about graduation, you know, yet and stuff. You're so young, you're thinking about recess. You're thinking about other stuff and everything.
Right.
That's a really cool program for a lot of reasons.
It was. As you said, it gives them a little bit of reality that, yes, I will be graduating from here in 12 years. Some of them, as you said, it's hard to kind of conceptualize what 12 years means. Some of them may have been to a graduation before. It definitely gives them a feeling of pride that they've accomplished something. And our families, our parents, our grandparents, they absolutely are thrilled to see their children or grandchildren walk down that aisle and move on to kindergarten.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a real thrill. It's a neat event.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else for us, Jim?
Sure, absolutely. One more end-of-the-year event that I want to discuss.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House is trying to tamp down concerns after President Trump talked about regime change following Saturday's U.S. strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities. Spokeswoman Caroline Levitt.
The president's posture and our military posture has not changed. The president was just simply raising a question that I think many people around the world are asking.
Rafael Grossi is director general of the UN's nuclear watchdog.
We have a window of opportunity to return to dialogue and diplomacy. If that window closes, violence and destruction could reach unthinkable levels.
An oppressive heat wave is creeping east. These two are in Milwaukee.
I'm not a fan. It's really hot out. It's really sticky, and 70 would be nice.
I would rather have extreme hot. The older I get, the harder it is to get warm.
It'll get up to around 88 there today. The high for New York City, 97, and it could hit 99 in New York and Philadelphia tomorrow.